When Governor Murkowski left office in 2006, Alaska oil producers were pumping about 960,000 barrels a day through the Trans-Alaska pipeline. Today, it's 640,000 barrels a day.
The facts of our state today suggest that we're seeing an alarming decline in oil production. And about 86% of state revenues primarily come from oil. And as we look at how we've been able to sustain ourselves, it's primarily been through the high price of oil.
Murkowski estimates that oil production will continue to decline at a rate of 6% a year. When production drops to about 300,000 barrels a day in an estimated 7 to 9 years, Murkowski says the economics of the Trans-Alaska pipeline come into question.
Currently, the pipeline is flowing at a temperature in the mid-30s. When they first opened it, we're moving nearly 2 million barrels a day. It was in the low 90s.
While few Southeast Alaska residents directly work for the oil industry, Murkowski says a collapse of the industry would have far-reaching economic ramifications for the region.
While oil seems far away from Ketchikan, Alaska, or Wrangell, or Petersburg, or Sitka, or the rest of them, the revenue stream is very much a part of our lifestyle and very much a part of our educational system and so forth.
With a decline in oil production, Murkowski says state officials have long assumed that a gas line would be built to replace lost oil revenue. While he was in office, Murkowski says a gas line made economic sense. He says the project is no longer economical and likely won't be again for decades.
Nothing stands still. When the economics supported it, the price of gas was over $6, $6.60 or thereabouts. That's not the case any longer. Gas is, you know, fluctuating around three, depending on, you know, any given time. But the additional consideration that's thwarted the development of the gas line is the tremendous reserves that have been found in the last couple of years. You're not going to see a gas line. You might not see it for two decades. And the rationale is very simple. The cost of developing this project and delivering that gas is still extraordinarily expensive as compared with other sources that have been found.
Murkowski says markets will ultimately determine when a gas line could be developed in the future. He says his administration had come to terms with oil producers on building a gas line. That contract was never voted on by the legislature.
When we were there and negotiated a draft contract with ConocoPhillips and Exxon and BP, we did it under the authority of the Stranded Gas Act. What our objective was to try and get a gas line built by holders who held gas leases that had the capacity to build the line and so forth. And obviously Exxon, BP, and ConocoPhillips had the leases. You might not like them, and a lot of people don't like them. And that's one of the reasons that the authority was changed by the legislature and the administration, and from the Stranded Gas Act to negotiate a contract under AGIA.
Murkowski says AGIA, or the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act, that was subsequently proposed by the Palin administration, sought to exclude oil producers.
And you know, when they went to bid, producers didn't bid. Yet the producers had the gas, they had the capacity to finance it, and they had the market. Well, what the prevailing thought was, the state can do better by not having a producer-owned pipeline. And there's nothing wrong with that in theory, but you got to get the gas from somebody. And TransCanada was the only bidder, and TransCanada is a fine company.
He says TransCanada has admitted that it cannot build the pipeline without a commitment from producers that they would in fact send gas through the line. As for the state's attempt to exclude producers from the gas line construction process, Murkowski says that didn't work because Exxon has since partnered with TransCanada. He says he does not believe the duo will construct the proposed 800-mile pipeline anytime soon, even if all of the producers agree to send gas through the line. Murkowski's speech was one of a number that he says he plans to give in the upcoming weeks in an attempt to inform Alaska's electorate about the future fiscal uncertainty the state faces. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.